Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter. Hey, watchers, it's Nyan, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. I assume you folks are good with me calling you watchers, but if you've got a better name for folks that listen to the pod, please let us know. First up this week, Dan and I give our feedback on the series Carmen Sandiego, which is available to stream on Netflix. And for this week's pitch, we're actually going to be doing our first movie on the pod ever. And we're switching it up a little bit. We actually had a pitch sent to us from a regular listener of the pod for the movie Patterson, starring Adam Driver and directed by Jim Jarmusch. So we're going to actually read the listener's pitch himself because the listener didn't want to hop on the pod, which is cool. No worries there. And we'll figure it out from there. Patterson's available to stream on Amazon Prime. As always, if you're enjoying or hating any part of this podcast, please rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages as we do monitor those outlets. You can even leave us a voice message on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. And please do, because we'd love to hear about all the things we've done wrong or maybe even something we got right. And finally, if all that is a bit of a bother, feel free to complain about us on your social media platform of choice. All right, watchers, get ready to hop on this bus.
All right, so we are here to do the feedback for Carmen Sandiego, the new animated series available on Netflix. And not to be confused with the Carmen Sandiego computer games, the game show on PBS, or the very strange animated show from the 90s. But we're talking about the newest Carmen Sandiego series that you can currently watch on Netflix. So what did you guys think?
So I just want to say, hey, Rockefellas. sorry, no, that was too much. Exactly. Okay. So there's just one thing I have to say, because the first thing I thought about, you know, when we actually got to see her in action is, where did she get those wonderful toys?
Yes. I want to know where she gets the hang glider from, because I don't think they ever really say that.
I mean, I feel like there has to be like expandable or, you know, other pieces, you know, from it. The advantage of wearing a trench coat is that it has probably ample space to store different things. I mean, you guys ever seen Zane Lamprey's, you know, I think it was a crowdfunded a jacket that he wears. It has like all these different crazy pockets in it. It's got an insulated pocket for your beer. It's got like bottle openers. It's got all this crazy stuff in it. So, I mean, if he can put that all into a small little kind of, you know, waist level jacket, then what can you fit in a trench coat? It's infinite at that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I have to say, you know, honestly, I mean, again, I think like, you know, right period, like, you know, for we talked about during the pitch is that, you know, I think that there is a lot that, you know, people can take from this with regards to, you know, if you're a younger person or if you're an older person. I think if you're an older person, I think there's a lot of, you know, those old things you can kind of pick up off of this and whatnot. But I think that, you know, it still kind of grounds itself in that kind of, you know, adventure meets educational mindset. And so I went in with like the lowest of expectations because I didn't know how it was going to be approached. And I was pleasantly surprised, actually. So, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot, you know, that they put into here. I mean, you know, they made it a theme, maybe Giants reference in there, you know, about Istanbul, not Constantinople. So that alone within itself was like, you know, a great big, you know, smile on my face. and they, and, you know, you really know your geography, you know, there was like all these like random, like, you know, notes in there. And they actually had a Countess Cleo, and she has actually channel people. So that was actually a refreshing note as well. And she didn't talk in a fake Jamaican accent either, so that was actually very helpful for me. But yeah, no, I really appreciated, you know, a lot of the different, you know, nuances they brought to it. And they actually had, you know, legit character development, and, you know, and now it's like it was great to see, you know, there is a little bit, I'm not going to spoil too much basically, but I did love the little twist that came through in the first two apps basically, you know, with regards to various different things. You know, I really appreciated that little, you know, twist with regards to, you know, the nature of the ecosystem of which Carmen was brought up with. I thought that was very, very unique. I really appreciated that.
Cool. Yeah. And you finally get to see, at least according to this version of the character, where the name comes from, which is something I've always wondered.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I thought it was very, again, I mean, not to, you know, be a weirdo here, but it's not too dissimilar than, you know, Han getting his name from the Imperials in Solo. I thought it was like very, very similar to that. It's like, you know, Han, what's your last name? I don't have a last name. Oh, you're by yourself, Solo. it was like very, like, not too dissimilar from that, or like any other situation where it's like, you know, it's like, you know, that was your Family Guy that I love, where it's like Peter Griffon. Oh, damn it. Yeah, I got a lot of that.
And Dan, did you like the animation style?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I thought it was, you know, tremendously fluid, and it was not, you know, grounded in, you know, like it wasn't, you know, a la, you know, Todd McFarlane or, you know, any kind of, you know, Marvel versus DC versus anime. I did like that it had its own kind of feel to it. I mean, I was trying to think of like another animated feature that it was kind of similar to. And I feel like it was, believe it or not, like, there's some French animation that I've seen in the past that I think it's more akin to that versus anything else I've seen. But again, I really liked it because it was, you know, approachable. It was soft on the eyes, I thought. And so I thought that, you know, that it made it a lot more accessible, I think. You know, I think that what comes into any series, you know, if you don't know the characters, you're not coming into this. I mean, if you're coming this blind, for example, I think you want something to draw you in. And I feel like that, you know, that the animation style shouldn't be one to kind of push you away. So I think that did a good job of making you feel welcome to the series. And it's just a matter of whether or not you kind of hinge on to the characters or not. I think if you were coming into this blind, as opposed to, you know, the three of us who actively have some sort of attachment to the IP as it is.
That's an interesting point with like the French animation style. The one that comes first to mind is Triplets of Belleville, because I think that's maybe one of the few French animation things that I've seen. But I do see the similarities there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that point. Nye, what are you thinking here?
Well, so I liked it, but I don't think it's something I'd watch on my own. Like I definitely appreciate all the random fact drops. I like the way they worked all the geography knowledge in as someone who came in second place in their seventh grade geography B. I'm here for that.
There you go.
But I don't think this is something I'd watch independently, even though I think they're doing a good job of the story. Like, it's just not something I'd want to watch without a child involved. Like, it feels weird for me to watch it just kind of randomly. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad show. They're absolutely doing a good job with it. And it's great to see, because it's in the, I think, Representation Matters collection for Netflix, which I think this show actually does an excellent job as far as representation goes. I really appreciated that. 100%. I mean, I'll be honest, for episode 7, where they were in India and they did the Indian background music, I was like, this could be more offensive, but it's not terrible. And they did a decent job with that. Actually, speaking of jumping to episode 7, Scott, why did you, I forget why you picked the first 3 and then jumped to 7. What was the rationale for that?
The first 3 kind of laying the foundation pretty much. And then I just liked episode 7. I thought it was a pretty cool episode. I liked the paper chase character and the animation style that they use in that episode.
Okay. Yeah, I think ultimately it's a good show. It's worth watching. I kept referring to File Academy as Grand Larceny Hogwarts, which I feel like is appropriate.
That's fair. Appropriate. Yeah,
it was weird to see the person they referred to as player now helping people steal because when I was a player back in my day, we tried to catch Carmen Sandiego, and now we're just helping her out. Seems like nonsense. And can we have we called out the fact that he player says he lives in Niagara Falls in the first episode, and all he can talk about is having computers, the internet? I'm like, bro, you're in Niagara Falls. There is a wonder of the world, both on the American side and the Canadian side. I know you're on the Canadian side. We all know the Canadian side of Niagara Falls is better. I get that. But you're not far from Ripley's, believe it or not, either. And he doesn't bring that up. All he does is talk about computers and the internet. This kid needs to walk outside of his house.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that point for sure. Yeah, and actually, they use a similar setup in the 90s animated show with Player as like the person who's playing the computer game. But in that series, he's like pretty much, or the person who is Player is the good guy trying to catch Carmen Sandiego as the computer game set up. And in this one, they just kind of flipped it.
Got it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
The characters of Zach and Ivy, who they made from Boston for some unknown reason.
I love dumb Bill Burr. Like,
it's 100% dumb Bill Burr. Yes,
this whole Fallon Dratch thing. Like, I kept waiting for them to shout.
Yes, Nova. Yeah, and then just start randomly making out with each other. Yeah,
he's kind of a fun character for sure. Yeah, they were also in the 90s cartoon, but
they were.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
but they did not have. They were not from Boston in that.
Oh, okay.
So they just decided to do that for this series. Yeah, basically,
Wicked Pissa.
I just decided to watch a couple episodes of the 90s cartoon series because I read that some of the characters in this show, or at least the basis for them, came from that. And so that is definitely true. But the 90s cartoon is just its own kind of strange creation. But I think that this one is definitely a lot more fluid and the stories flow from one episode to the next really well. And they're really interesting and drawn out characters for the most part.
Yeah, Every once in a while it gets a little dark.
Yeah, I agree. It does get a little dark.
Yeah, it definitely does. Especially when they like brainwash her friend from Vile. And then, you know, pretty much pretend like he doesn't exist.
It's I think that again, but if you think about it, you know, the whole honor amongst thieves thing only goes so far. You know, I mean, in the end, basically, you're still, you know, depriving ownership of an item from a person whose rightful ownership it is. So, you know, fundamentally, you know, stealing within itself is, you know, on our society's moral, you know, compass, so to speak, wrong, quote unquote. You know, even if this person has too much or has, you know, or it maybe came into this item in a nefarious means, they still technically have possession of it, and they say possession is 9/10 of the law. So, you know, I get it. You know, there's a lot that you can kind of insinuate from the show. And again, what Carmen's doing is, you know, technically, quote unquote, wrong. You know, it is against the law. But then, you know, obviously her ends, what she's trying to do is obviously a lot different than the ends of, you know, the standard thief that exists out there. So again, it is a bit of a moral kind of ethical kind of dilemma for the viewer as well. You know, so like, well, what is right? What is wrong? You know, is Robin Hooding, you know, the answer in some ways?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I guess they're trying to make Carmen like Robin Hood in this series, like she's stealing from the rich who got their, you know, treasure, so to speak, illicitly. So does that make it okay?
I kind of worry more about what they're teaching kids about driving, because there's that scene in episode 3 where dumb Bill Burr like has a durian hit the windshield, and then he eats the durian. And I was like, that dude is definitely a Boston driver, because only a Boston driver would eat the durian that just hit his windshield and then just keep driving.
100%.
Yeah, totally. Yes, that definitely is very believable.
Terrible driving aside, yeah, the ethical quandary is there, and this is also a show geared towards children. So
he would make the Massachusetts left-hand turn in a heartbeat. He would slowly edge into the street until basically you had to let him in, because otherwise you get hit, you get dinged for it on your insurance.
Well, then there's Agent Devino in the first, or I think, or the second episode, who his car is like completely wrecked and he just like punches the windshield out and like drives with his head sticking out the window.
Yeah, I feel like Agent Devino, like, I mean, he has a lot of other kind of like, I feel like multiple influences coming from behind him. So he gets a little bit kind of this Inspector Clouseau, a young Inspector Clouseau versus like, you know, other kinds of, you know, less than smart kind of detectives that exist in the world. You know, so I think there's a lot, it's very interesting because he is like, you know, he's portrayed as, you know, somewhat, you know, attractive in the ether, but he also has his, like, you know, his, you know, failings, if you will. So it was very interesting to see how he kind of is representative of, again, a weird, I guess, animated ideal of police that exists in the world in some ways.
And I feel like he was supposed to be kind of like an archetype of just like a chauvinist male, because he always ignores Agent Argent, even though she's always right and like is always interprets things
and correctly. 1,000% smarter than he is. Yes.
Yeah. About Carmen and what she's doing. And yes, he never listens to her at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
a depressing lesson for all the young women out there.
Yeah. It's a common, it is a macro level commentary on the reality of so many industries in this world. Where even if the man is wrong, he is still in control.
Yep.
You rat bastards.
But it's very cool. I really liked the chief of Acme, who you see a little bit, I think, in episode 7.
Right.
Which is, I think, definitely an homage to Lynn Thigpen, who was the chief in the game show in the 90s.
Actually, they only reference, at the end of episode 7, they show like a card for Acme, but I don't think they actually show the chief, because I don't remember.
They showed like a cutaway at one point, basically. But it was like literally like not even like 10 seconds of like of them saying, you know, oh, we know what should we do about this kind of situation. And then they cut away for like a half a second when I can't remember who was in comms. Someone was in comms basically at that point, but it was like super quick. But I mean, yeah, I can't remember who was like the, I don't think it was the head of Acme, but I think it might have been like a regional director equivalent, if you will, that was there.
Or assistant to the regional manager.
Exactly. Assistant to regional manager. Gareth Keenan. Cook.
Had to be said. Yes. Well, she does show up in other episodes then, and they make her character, like the chief of Acme, look like Lynn Thigpen, which is a nice touch.
Interesting. Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, not, I mean, you know, for me, you know, this is something that I probably would like to revisit at some point. You know, at the time of this recording, there is quite a bit of content that is dropping left and right. So I can't say I can get back to it, say in this immediate future, say in the next like 2 to 3 weeks. But I wouldn't say no to coming back to this, you know, after which point in time where there's kind of a bit of a break in my consumption schedule, because I am curious to see where this is going to play out vis-a-vis the plot. Because obviously there's a lot of different ways they can go about this. I mean, you know, the question is, you know, in my mind, that kind of piques me is that, you know, to where would Carmen go, into what, like, you know, how much she willing to compromise her own moral and ethical beliefs to get to the ends that she's looking to get what she's looking, you know, to get her goals, basically. Because it's, again, obviously the villains, as they kind of portrayed in the series, they're obviously willing to do whatever they need to do to kind of silence her or to bring her to bay. But, you know, how far is she willing to go is my question. So it'd be very interesting to see how that plays off over time.
Cool. Yeah. And I have gotten through I'm about halfway through season 3 at this point. So I've watched up until that. And it really does take the plots and the stories take some pretty interesting turns, and they definitely expand on the universe and try to lead you slowly but surely towards one of Carmen's goals, which I'll just give a little hint about. But in the first episode, they say that Vile found her abandoned, I think, as a baby. So they do go into a little bit more detail about her family and how she ended up like abandoned. And then she tries to learn more about her parents and what led them to do what they did, which is one of the story arcs, which is pretty cool, I think.
So it's a little bit of a Papa, can you hear me?
a little. So yeah.
Or maybe, do you want to build a snowman? same thing.
Same idea, yes. But there's some interesting developments that happen in later seasons, or later in the first season, and then throughout the rest of the seasons that I've watched so far. So yeah, I'm definitely going to get through the season four is what they've gotten up to as of now. And yeah, Nyan, it doesn't sound like you would be that this would be high up on your list of things to continue watching.
Not really. I mean, they did a good job. And if I'm in a room with a child again, I'll put it on for said child, and then it's something we can both tolerate, and then maybe they'll learn something. But it's just not something that's gonna. I'm gonna.
Can I ask a question? Would you put this on or the Emoji Movie? If you had to choose,
I think you've had enough.
It seems like you're really having to think about this.
There's no answer to that question that doesn't involve me just screaming. Why would you ever make me watch the Emoji Movie? Are you TJ Miller? Are you getting money off this somehow? That I need to watch that dumpster. I will never myself put myself through that dumpster fire of a movie unless I absolutely have to, because they tried the screaming for it.
So that is the correct answer.
I was going to say, I'm glad that that's what you settled on. All right. Well, thank you for giving Carmen Sandiego a try.
Hey, folks, for this week's pitch, we've got a little bit of a twist. So an episode or two ago, we had our first guest on the show to do their first pitch. And now we've actually got a listener submission of something that they wanted to hear pitched and then get our feedback on. So, but this person didn't actually want to come on the podcast. He is a fan. I looked at the stats on Anchor, and all of our listeners are male. So as per Spotify, we're men's rights activists, apparently, which is disappointing on many levels. But what I'd like to do now is for the panel folks, just read the pitch from this random listener. He's a longtime listener and pitcher, and then we'll see what we thought. So without further ado, dear podcast panel members, I would like to pitch the movie Patterson, available on Amazon Prime. After being moved by Nyan's comments on Ferris Bueller, which I think he's referring to the Outer Banks episodes, I was reminded of this movie as the antidote. The movie, by Jim Jarmusch, follows the life of Patterson, played by Adam Driver, insert John Oliver thirsting here.
Oh, yes.
In the town of Patterson, New Jersey.
Long piece of beef stroganoff.
So I don't know if you're talking about Adam Driver, John Oliver, or Patterson, New Jersey. I'm going to go with all of the above. It lives in the town of Patterson, New Jersey, where he's a bus driver by trade, loving husband, and a poet. The film explores the roles of art in everyday life, the subconscious impact of people and things around us, and a Rorschach test for the viewer on how they see Patterson's and others' lives in the film, and ultimately their own. I found this movie to be extremely moving. There's also a phenomenal cameo in there that I won't spoil. Love the podcast, and particularly Scott's range of picks. Sincerely, a longtime listener, first-time pitcher.
Well, I definitely like whoever this is.
Yeah, I think he's got questionable taste, but I mean, I appreciate him listening.
Yeah, and for the record, I'm Patterson Skywalker.
Having been to Patterson, New Jersey, I'm... never thought there'd be a film about it. That was the hurricane. Did that take place in Patterson? the Denzel Washington movie?
I think he was based out of Patterson. Yeah, I want to say.
Patterson's got a weird life.
Now I'm flashing back to the Anna DeFranco cover of that.
Oh, she covered that? I had no idea.
She covered the song, yeah.
So maybe some quick questions. Have you guys heard of this movie? Have you already seen it?
No.
No, I have not heard. I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it until the person who wanted to pitch mentioned it. So kind of looking forward to it. I like Jim Jarmusch. I haven't seen enough of his movies. Ghost Dog is a classic. So yeah. I think Adam Driver is fine. I'm not in love with him as much as John Oliver is or many other people. But I mean, he was great as Kylo Ren. So Kylo Ren is a bus driver and a poet, maybe a husband.
So, but people out there might be asking them to rip their tickets right down the middle.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Neither do I. I'm just grasping it random metaphorical, metasexual kind of comments now at this point.
Oh, well, I mean, that usually fits right in with the show. So it's just from the description, it definitely seems like a different type of the media or than we've been talking about recently.
Well, yeah, it's a movie. It's our first movie,
I mean, and it's on Amazon Prime. Now Amazon Prime definitely has a little bit more of a, as far as their curation of offerings. I mean, for the most part, the ones that they promote they definitely have a little more of an artistic flair to them. I would say across the board. I mean, they do have some of their deeper catalog, which is, I'd say, a little bit more like, oh, we got this on the cheap, so we're going to throw it up here. But, the fact that Adam Driver is in it and he's, quote unquote, hot, from a bevy of the other movies he's had in the past, 3 to 4 years, I would wager to say that, this is like, okay, we need to have everything in Adam Driver's, IMDb profile because we have to have it. So, that being said, I think that seeing him portray kind of an everyman or New Jersey everyman, I think is very intriguing to me for sure.
And a different style, I guess, also of than some of the shows that we've been talking about recently.
Exactly.
This seems like pretty much a straight drama, right?
Yeah, it's the impression. Yeah, I mean, it's Jarmusch. It definitely tends. Well, there's always subtle humor within his stuff. So, but it definitely seems like it's going to be more dramatic than anything.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen any movies that he's done. So this will be a new, another new kind of, just a different type of show or movie in this case, than what I usually watch, and another new auteur that I can, check out.
And I would like you to bring a favorite Ghost Dog quote to the table when we talk about this again.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch that. Love me some Ghost Dog. Cool.
All right. So a mystery recommender and a movie for us, which is the first time we've reviewed or given our thoughts on a movie.
Yeah.
Thank you, listener.
Yeah, in more words of Werner Wolf, let's go to videotape.
Well, we tried. That brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. Please join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on iTunes. Or if you didn't listen to this on iTunes, please complain about us on your social media platform of choice. Good night, everybody.